Are we seeing the ultimate attempt to form the new world order?
Everything we have been experiencing is all part of the Great Reset, and it is all driving towards the same outcome. That is the resetting of the entire world to prepare the people for the arrival of Antichrist. That's how close we are to seeing him step out of the shadows and onto the world stage.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, radio for the remnant. Today, Jen talks to two pastors who have great insight into the coming global reset. What is this reset? Who is behind it? And how will it affect you? Jen talks to Pastor Tom Hughes and Pastor Brandon Holthouse. Here is today's programming.
Damon Duck wrote, on June 19th of 2020, the World Economic Forum announced that it will hold its annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland in January of 2021. And the theme, get this, will be the Great Reset. The Great Reset means changing every aspect of society by redistributing the world's wealth, enacting a global tax, and supporting world government and more. So the thought with the World Economic Forum is, we're going to do this world reset January of 2021. I would call it the ultimate attempt at the birth of the New World Order.
And welcome to the program. We're going to be talking about so many different things this hour. Your head might spin like mine is, because let me just set the stage for the hour, and I'll bring on my two guests literally in a minute or two. In June of 2020, not that long ago, the World Economic Forum hosted some of the top global elites, in other words, government leaders, business leaders, activists, etc., and announced their proposal to, quote, reset the global economy. The quotes from this meeting are eye-opening, to say the least. They're pushing for a reset of capitalism, quotes, to have a cohesive and sustainable world. So in the mind of the globalist or any of the godless leaders of the world, capitalism and, quite frankly, Christianity are the roots of all evil. Particularly, capitalism is unfair. It doesn't redistribute the wealth. As I referenced, this would have been a couple of weeks ago, the John Lennon song, Imagine. The globalists want to imagine a new world along the lines of that song, no borders. In other words, one world, but also we have to get rid of our thoughts about heaven and hell because they don't exist. And that's kind of the mindset of today's one worlder in this World Economic Forum. So in that June World Economic Forum conference, it's not surprising that the president of the organization, Klaus Schwab, said, quote, every country from China to the United States must participate in every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. He concluded, in short, we need a great reset of capitalism. Now, he cited the hundreds of thousands of COVID-19 deaths, the shrinking world economy, worldwide riots, high unemployment as reasons to reimagine and reset how the world should work together. I've said it a dozen times on this program that COVID-19 was the crisis these folks couldn't let go to waste. But quite frankly, folks, we've got other crises going on, and they're all playing into the hands of these one-worlders. And remember, the Bible talks a lot about a coming one-world system. It's all outlined in Revelation 13. We're going to talk about that and much more this hour. I have two special guests joining me. Both are California pastors, Pastor Tom Hughes, 412 Church, San Jacinto, California. I have the privilege of meeting his congregation and talking to them mid-January. Tom, welcome back.
Great to be back with you, Jan.
And Pastor Brandon Holthouse, Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield, California, met his remnant flock ministering to it in January. Two special occasions doing that. Brandon, welcome back.
Thanks, Jan, for having me today.
And I'll say more about their online prophecy updates as we go along here. Gentlemen, I have pages of notes here. I'm trying to scale them down a little bit. Brandon, let me ask you this. Let's fast forward. January 2021 is not that far away. Supposedly, a lot more will be planned, laid out, strategized at their annual meeting in Davos, January 21st through 24th, 2021. Almost anybody who's anybody is there. Your thoughts on what might happen in January as it relates to how I opened this program?
Yeah, I think based on already what they said, Jan, on their website, and anyone can go on their website, do an internet search of World Economic Forum, and all you have to do is read their agenda. I already know, and they've already telescoped everything, what they want. Digital currency, that's part of the plan, is to have this equal outcome through the economies of the world, which is a form of socialism, Marxism. Not equal opportunity, but equal outcome. Well, you can only do that through Marxism and communism, so that's behind that. The agenda then is to have the governments of the world push this agenda through large-scale spending programs. I don't know where they're going to get the money from, but that's what they want the governments of the world to do. Then use what they call the fourth industrial revolution that they say we're going through right now to use the new technology that we have, the emerging technology such as artificial intelligence, robotics, internet, 3D printing, to implement this system.
Let me just read what this Klaus Schwab further says. He's the head of this World Economic Forum. Met in June, we'll meet again in January. Capitalism is antiquated and must be replaced with worldwide stakeholder capitalism, which is just another word for socialism or communism. These elites, despite their years of formal secular education, apparently, I think, are so deceived that they actually think the United States will just roll over and let them take over due to all the turmoil, particularly in America. Tom Hughes, I moments ago made a reference to the crises that so many of these folks can't let go to waste. But did you ever think you would see such a perfect setup as what's happened in the last 6-7 months?
I didn't think it would come about with this. Jan, I've written a lot about the climate laws and Agenda 2030, and I wasn't really expecting pestilence to be used to bring about the change that is coming. And it obviously is being used because you have H1N1. There's been viruses and pestilences that have been far worse than what we're experiencing right now. I look at it, totally surprised by it. And I will say this, as far as America rolling over, I believe it will happen without the current president in the White House.
Yeah.
And I also find it interesting, Jan, just to reiterate what both you and Brandon said, if anybody can get this material straight from the World Economic Forum, their own website, weforum.org.
Weforum.org.
And it's all right there. It was Klaus Schwab. Here's just one thing he said. Go right on their website. We can emerge from this crisis a better world if we act quickly and jointly. So this whole crisis is being exacerbated. You got people in the state of great fear, and their fears are being manipulated.
Yeah.
It's no wonder why Jesus said don't fear over and over and over in the Bible. But their fears are being manipulated. Deceit is being brought in. And this is coming like a freight train. And January 2021 is their date.
We don't know how long it would take for them to implement their system. The other thing we don't know is, will the church be here or not? The church escapes the tribulation. The things we're seeing, Pastor Brandon Holthouse and Tom Hughes, the things we're seeing, particularly since January of 2020 here, clearly are a foretaste of the tribulation. In the tribulation, it'll be 10 million times worse, but still, it's a foretaste.
It sure is. I think what we're seeing is these stair steps to what's going to happen in the tribulation. And like Dr. David Jeremiah said, there's a shadow being cast from the tribulation to us right now. Here's a foretaste of it. In the tribulation, no one's going to have any rights. And now what we're seeing is these little stair steps of our rights being taken away for the sake of health, for the sake of your lives. We got to save lives. We got to put on a mask. And what people don't realize what's happening is they're being conditioned to give up rights for peace and security.
That's right. And you said that in one of your prophecy updates very recently, Brandon Holthouse. And folks, both of my guests have prophecy updates. They're online only. You can find Brandon Holthouse at rockharborchurch.net. Go to YouTube and just type in Rock Harbor Church Prophecy Update. Tom Hughes, Hope for Our Times. Go to Hope for Our Times on YouTube, and these come up. They do them weekly. And Brandon, I want to play just a clip of you here for a second, because you summed something up here in 48 seconds that I thought was so profound, and we're back to peace and security here.
Ask yourself this. Look at all the lemmings
around the world, and you know the animal lemming, it'll just go off the cliff. It just follows the herd, right? We call them sheeple. Look at how people respond to just being told to do something. And they do it, not realizing that they're giving up their constitutional rights. There's no pushback. There's no rebellion. There's no fighting against this. People just go along and they accept it. Well, if they're doing it now, what do you think they're going to do in the future? They will lay down and do whatever the government tells them to do, as long as it provides them peace and safety, peace and security, because they're going to sell this as, this is for your safety and the safety of other people.
Tom Hughes, have you ever seen that play out more than the last 6 months?
I have not. Interesting, in Nazi Germany, one of the slogans was, this is for your safety. Mm-hmm. And you look, just get on the train, it's for your safety. Yeah. Take a shower, it's for your safety. It's just remarkable, Brandon, how you put that into the perspective, because we are watching it. What really has amazed me more than anything through this is how easily and quickly, by far, the majority of the masses of the world have just fallen into order, and what they've done is started to shame everybody who doesn't go along with the plan. And social shaming. The government doesn't even have to do it. They don't have to sue the John MacArthur churches out there to do it. The people are policing themselves.
Yes.
And they're shaming you everywhere you go. It is truly remarkable. But man, can we see the setup for what's coming? The whole Revelation chapter 13 scenario, this is such a setup. People are totally being conditioned for what's coming.
I don't want to quite leave this great global reset yet. I want my audience to better understand it. It's kind of being pushed by media, Hollywood, almost everyone on the left. We've already talked that capitalism has to go. Well, folks, think about that for a minute. If capitalism goes, you know, what replaces it? Socialism, Marxism, probably the latter. Inclusive is a key word. Brandon, they're going to ask for a global tax. Some of this could be implicated as soon as January. We don't know. That would be speculation.
I think they have accelerated their efforts through this corona crisis, and now with the Black Lives Matter and Antifa groups, they've accelerated that. They've actually weaponized the coronavirus, and they've weaponized race. What they're wanting is to get there, accelerate to this point where we go to a digital currency, because that's what the World Economic Forum is all about, and implementing that worldwide, but tracking systems, forced vaccinations, and things of that nature that they're implementing. They're weaponizing coronavirus. Well, we want to save lives. We want to save your life. So give your right and let us do a forced vaccination. Then there's all these other talks about moving towards more of a global system to fight this coronavirus, to fight racism and all that. They have already said where they're going. How much they'll implement depends on how much people will just buckle under the pressure. Think about this, Jan. They have, in effect, shut down the school systems for this year and most of the colleges. Yeah, I know some school systems are back up and running, but for the most part, they're not. How are they able to do that based on the data on the coronavirus?
True.
Kids don't get sick from that, and yet they're going to shut down all the schools. They have shown with this great experiment that they can seize control, and they will.
If you'd like to get a hold of Brandon Holthouse, do so at rockharborchurch.net. Tom Hughes, you can reach him, hopeforourtimes.com. We're referring to the World Economic Forum, weforum.org, something coming into play as soon as January. At least they've had a meeting in June. They're going to have another major meeting. They have it every year, every January in Davos, Switzerland. So that's just a few months away. Tom Hughes, you said this, expect the great wealth transfer. Can you explain what you mean by that?
I have been in a lot of conversations about this lately, but we are watching the development of what I believe is going to be making sure everything is equal. Again, it's socialism. So the people who have, I believe their wealth is going to be stolen from them in a way that has never happened before. You can look at Nazi Germany and see how wealth was stolen from the Jews and redistributed. We have been hearing about the redistribution of wealth for a long time.
Yes.
We're watching, as Brandon mentioned, the rise of Black Lives Matter and Antifa and how unfair it is and there's privilege. And I know from the book of Revelation, chapter 6, you have the rider on the black horse. And what do we have with the rider on the black horse? The scales that are not balanced. day's wage for a loaf of bread, but don't harm the oil or the wine. It is the perfect picture of the elite group at the top holding all of the money, all of the wealth, and everybody else is equal. They're equally poor, and they're equally subjected to this government that is coming. I'm absolutely convinced that's going to be part of the Great Reset. In fact, when you read Klaus Schwab's statements about the Great Reset that's coming, this is indeed what they talk about, but it's packaged in a way that makes it sound like, well, this is just absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's for everybody's good. You're right, some people do just have too much. And I'll say this also, with Agenda 2030 and the climate laws that have already been written out, I think back in 2015, those climate laws were never looking to bring up like South America and Africa, third world areas, into areas like America or the West. The intent is to bring America and the West down to other poverty levels. You can read between the lines and see what the real attempt is at the sustainability. So when you look at the Great Reset, the wealth transfer, one way or another, this money, I believe, is going to be stolen, and it will all be for everybody's good. It's going to be amazing how many people are just going to think, yeah, this is best.
Yes, you're right. If you just join me, you're wondering, what on earth are we talking about? We're talking about, at least for the opening segment here, the Great Reset, which the World Economic Forum is working on. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line two pastors from the Communist Enclave of California, Pastor Tom Hughes, 412 Church, San Jacinto. It's part of the Calvary Chapel stream. Brandon Holthouse, Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield, California. Brandon, where do you meet? Because you're not in a building. Are you able, or are you wanting to non-disclose here?
Since this coronavirus lockdown, we weren't able to meet at the school that we used to meet in, so we had to go find another place. So we found the warehouse. It's not perfect. It doesn't have Sunday school classrooms or Bible studies, but it gives us a place to worship. And so we've been worshiping there. We were not going to be shut down by Gavin Newsom, and so we just continue to worship. We've been surviving there ever since. We're doing well there.
Well, you're growing, it sounds like.
Yeah, we are. We're really growing. Our online audience
yes.
is growing, which is great.
You have like fantastic online audience. I've watched it grow from a few thousand to multiple thousand. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The common thing that we get from people is what we're talking about here, the World Economic Forum. Their churches and pastors are not talking like this.
Exactly.
They come to me and they tell me they're frustrated with their pastor, they're frustrated with their church, because they say, we know this is all going on, but how come it's not being addressed from the pulpit? So we're getting a lot of spillover
yep.
from that. People just put out with their own church, pretending that nothing's happening.
Brandon, let me address this question to you. Do you think the church could still be here when this, let's just say, for discussion here on Understanding the Times Radio, that the Great Reset is launched in January, February 2021, you think the church could still be here and go through? And I'm not talking about the tribulation. I'm talking about the reset.
If you look at some of the birth pains we've already seen, the return of Israel and several other items, the players lining up for Ezekiel 38 and 39, we're starting to see these birth pains, and we haven't been raptured yet. Now, we're promised to be raptured prior to the tribulation. So we're in that season of time, obviously, that we can be raptured, but the longer we go and the Lord tarries or he delays when his timing is right, we could see this. It's possible we can start seeing this Great Reset, or at least the staging for
right.
it, what's going to eventually occur in the tribulation, which is going to be unbelievable. We're definitely going to experience it. Is it possible we could experience a digital currency? Well, look at some of the stores now. They say, we don't want your change.
Mm-hmm.
Why is all of a sudden there's a change shortage? I didn't know we had a change shortage. But no one wants to take change anymore. They want exact amounts or your card to be swiped. We're already seeing the staging for that. I think if it goes any further and we're going to see more and we're not raptured in the days ahead, then yeah, you're going to see a lot more. We're going to experience some of the stage setting, I
mm-hmm.
think.
It says Don Stewart and I talked about on air, this would be probably a month ago now, quoting the verse out of Daniel, the wise will understand. Well, if you understand eschatology, we do understand how things are lining up, and we watch how things are lining up. It's kind of an exciting time, but gentlemen, I was with both of you in January when life was fairly normal, okay? It really was. I was enjoying the California weather while my friends back here in Minnesota were suffering something terrible. Life was pretty normal, and by sometime into February, March, everything went upside down in Alice in Wonderland. That's how fast it happened, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it sure did happen fast. I was thinking about that. You came out, and then 3 weeks later, I had a night with Don Stewart also.
Yes.
Right after that. In fact, Don and I was asking him about the coronavirus, because it was already on our radar.
It's on the radar.
In December. So we were talking about it. By the time March rolled around, I was already thinking, this is fishy, this whole thing. It seems like there's a lot of manipulation going on. But thinking about what Brandon said, I look and think, everything has happened so fast. We don't know exactly when we're going to be raptured. We could easily see more of the setting of the stage. But man, to me, it looks like it's already set.
I agree.
But I'm not the Lord, so I don't know the timing on it. Man, it is just absolutely remarkable. If you are part of the Daniel chapter 12, the wise will understand. If you're part of that, it is amazing to be living right now and witnessing these things, although it is unnerving at times.
Now, I have heard you both say, and I've said the same thing, I've said it on this program, we are not going back. We're not going back to December of 2019. We're not going back to 2018 and 17. We're just simply not going back. And I think we should maybe explain what we mean by that, because it's like the eschatological calendar has been speeded up as things are intended to do. Once those birth pangs and once all the events get kicked into gear, they're going to speed up and speed up. But Brandon, explain what you mean when we say we're not going back.
We're not going back to several things. They're pushing this new movement. Capitalism has failed us. We've got to go to this new system. We're not going to go back to a free market system per se. We're going to go to a form of socialism, communism, Marxism, whatever it is. They cross lines economically that you just simply can't come back from. So, for instance, our debt, the United States debt, we have so much debt, you're not going to come back and pay that off. It's too far gone. They're eventually just going to have to switch to a different currency. Or how about the churches now? Take that for an example. Mm-hmm. Back in December, we were meeting together, doing our regular thing. Now with all these coronavirus mandates from these mayors and governors, going back to a brick-and-mortar building and sitting together is probably not going to come back, because they've already stipulated that the church is one of the main areas that pushes and spreads the coronavirus. So they're going to have stipulations. You got to have 6 feet apart. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do that. So you're going to have to do church differently now. Just those kinds of examples of things that have been pushed so far, you don't come back. If they push to a digital currency, you're not going to go back to having cash in your wallet or change. It's over. Once you accelerate past these points and these lines in the sand, there's no going back. Just like our school systems. There's no going back in our school system to putting prayer back in the schools, putting the Bible back in, putting the Ten Commandments. That's done. We're not going back there. And I hate to say this, and a lot of people don't like this, but it's true. We have lost the culture.
Yes.
The culture in the United States is not coming back. Can there be a remnant of people who get it and understand it? Absolutely. But as a nation, we have drifted so far. In every sector of our society is corrupted. The leaven has been introduced into the loaf, and it is permeated through it. So I tell people, it's a hard pill to swallow, but your America that you knew and grew up with is not coming back.
As we all like to cite Ezekiel 33, sounding the alarm, as you've just done, and both of you do that very effectively, we're not trying to spill gloom and doom here based on what you just said. And as I'm following up here, based on Ezekiel 33, if we don't sound the alarm, what's happened, what's going to happen, and the consequences, the blood is on our hands. We're simply trying to sound the alarm. Tom, I think you would agree with that. We're just following Ezekiel 33.
Oh, yeah. We're accountable to the Lord, and it's recognizing that. I'm going to stand before God.
Yes.
You are, Jan and Brandon. We're all going to stand there. We get that. Therefore, I'm much more concerned about Judgment Day than I am about hurting somebody's feelings. Quite frankly, the truth is there is a cancer. It is sin, and I agree wholeheartedly with everything Brandon said. It has affected every part of American culture. It's affected the entire world. There is no turning back. If you just take the statues being torn down and monuments being torn down, I can't help but think, in Israel, they build Yad Vashem to remember where they came from. You keep up Auschwitz so they can go visit there to understand where they came from. The problem in America is, they've torn down everything, including the statues of remembrance of bad things and good things. But what's going to come out of this? It's a vacuum. something's going to come out of it. It's going to be bad. We already know what's happened in schools. You look at every form of idol worship that we have in the entertainment industry across the board. We voted in people that are totally anti-God,
yes,
and have the spirit of Antichrist in them. They hate church, and they're the ones that are running everything. God has turned us over, I believe, to a debased mind. But I'm absolutely convinced that he's going to be saving souls and saving souls. It's going to continue to happen. Now, there's probably some that will get saved listening to this. It'll happen during the tribulation period. But man, everything has changed, the entire dynamic. Satan has effectively used his minions to change the way we do everything, including church. And once he could get people to stop going to church, guess what? That's just a matter of completely falling away.
Here's where I want to go in part two of today's programming. What is a Christian supposed to do when we have the scenario just outlined by my two guests here in the last 2 minutes or so? What is the Christian left to do? And I want to talk about that because we can't just sit here and say, woe is me, and we give up. We're not advocating that at all, by the way. We need to be watchmen. Ezekiel 33, if we don't sound the alarm, the blood is on our hands. We need to be salt and light and try to delay the decay, but we'll talk more about that and a number of other things as well. What about vaccinations, forced vaccinations, by the way? I've referenced vaccinations on this program half a dozen times here since March or April. Once they become mandatory, what is the Christian to do? I think we're going to be staring at that sometime in 2021. We'll talk about it. I'm going away for just a couple of minutes, and I'll be right back.
We love friendly feedback. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In an age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio. We are pleased to offer a new book by two author favorites, Dr. Ed Heinsohn and the late Dr. Tim LaHaye, The Popular Encyclopedia of Bible Prophecy. It examines over 150 topics concerning eschatology. Find clarity as it concerns thousands of facts about Christ's return in the last days from two respected authorities. You will find detailed definitions of prophecy-related terms, a helpful timetable of last days events, thorough summaries of all the major prophetic viewpoints, and vital understanding of the key players of the last days. You will find wisdom and insight every time you reach for this A to Z encyclopedia to find biblical answers to your toughest prophecy questions. Find the Popular Encyclopedia of Bible Prophecy in our online store at olivetreeviews.org, that's olivetreeviews.org, or call our office Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. It is also found in our print and e-newsletter.
That's the scary part that people need to understand, that if I'm forced with a vaccination, I could do damage to my health. But then at the same token, then what do? If I can't function in society, if I can't buy or sell. And yeah, we're not in tribulation, but does that mean that Christians have to go off the grid?
If you miss a radio program, find the programming on our YouTube channel under Jan Markell on oneplace.com or on our website at our radio category. It is our goal to help you become watchmen on the wall and to better contend for the faith. We also post daily headlines at our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Now, here are Jan Markell and her guests to wrap up today's program.
On June 2nd, 2020, just a few months ago, a couple months ago, the founder now of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Klaus Schwab, wrote an article on their website in which he just comes right out with it. He says that COVID pandemic represents a, quote, rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world, end quote. Those aren't my words. Those are his words. The world must act jointly and swiftly, says Mr. Schwab, to, quote, revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country, from the United States to China, must participate, and every industry, from oil and gas to tech, must be transformed, end quote. And Mr. Schwab comes right out and admits that he can't do this without, you guessed it, Bill Gates.
And welcome back to the program. We'd spent the first half hour talking about the Great Reset coming in January 2021. Mr. Schwab is head of that Davos organization, the World Economic Forum. They met in June, going to meet again in January. You can learn more at weforum.org. I'm joined for the hour by Pastor Brandon Holthouse, Rock Harbor Church in Bakersfield, California, Pastor Tom Hughes, 412 Church, San Jacinto, California, just outside of Los Angeles. They both are doing prophecy updates online. You can find them on YouTube. And I'm drawing my discussion heavily from things they've shared here in the last 2 months or so. Gentlemen, just in the interest of time, and I need to move on. And by the way, this global reset, we'd be forced to accept the Green New Deal. All of this lunacy that we've been hearing about for so long would be a part of this global reset that we talked about in the first 30 minutes. A terrible time of change that no one would welcome. Let's kind of move on to some other issues while we have time. I kind of teased in my first half there that I wanted to talk about vaccinations and the fact that everyone is going to be forced here fairly soon with, are we going to take a COVID vaccination or not? Let me just read two paragraphs, Brandon and Tom Hughes, from LifeSite News. Doctors lay out plan to punish people who refuse coronavirus vaccine. Quote, there is no alternative. LifeSite News article, coronavirus vaccine should be mandatory. And tax penalties, higher insurance premiums, and denial of many government and private services ought to be considered for those refusing the shot, the two doctors and an attorney argued in USA Today. Another paragraph or so here. Broad induction of immunity in the population by immunization will be necessary to end this pandemic. This is coming from Dr. Michael Letterman. One more paragraph in the USA Today article. Titled Defeat COVID-19 by Requiring Vaccination for All, it's not un-American, it's patriotic. And the original subhead of the article reads, make vaccines free, don't allow religious or personal objections, and punish those who won't be vaccinated. They are threatening the lives of others. That was the subhead of the article in USA Today, some approximately 2.5 weeks ago. That is strong talk coming from the powers that be on these vaccinations. Let's talk about this for a minute. Both of you, I'd like to interact. Digital immunity certificates, you've done an update on that. It's going to tie into the vaccine, may or may not be forced. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what are digital immunity certificates?
They want the ability, using technology that we have now, to make sure that in their minds that everybody has been vaccinated from COVID-19. And in order to do that, they want to create what they call digital passports, mm-hmm. which could include implantable chips under your skin, tattoos. They've even talked about Google's introducing a tattoo. But some way, somehow, that you carry on your body, on your person, a proof that you've been vaccinated. So they don't want you just to have papers because they want this to affect the whole world. They're claiming that in third world countries, they don't have the systems we have, so they need something they can carry on their body. That's what they're wanting to push. They are bent on doing this because they're trying to not only link it with your vaccination, but with the economy in order to buy and sell. There's a lot of things being thrown into this, but it's to ensure everybody has been vaccinated.
The name Bill Gates has surfaced so heavily, I would say, since February, March. Brandon, you even did an update showing Melinda Gates. She was on one of the morning network programs, and she was blatantly wearing crystal clear as could be an upside-down cross. We'll show you some photos of Melinda Gates and her upside-down cross. You'll have to check out our visual radio format on our YouTube channel under Jan Markell on lightsource.com or on hischannel.com. Seeing is believing, folks, and this is not some conspiratorial silliness. This is extremely serious. Tom Hughes, this is a terrible offense to Bible-believing Christians. When we see someone in our face wearing an upside-down cross, why do you think Bill Gates has suddenly surfaced as the go-to man in this hour of history? We're using his computers, they've changed our world, and they're doing great stuff, but nonetheless, wish he would have stayed there and not left that industry.
Yeah, I do believe that there are demonic forces that are behind this. I know I can sound like I've just gone over the edge, but quite frankly, the spirit of Antichrist is here.
That is true.
And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the hosts of wickedness. This is the world that we live in, and we forget that. So when you have Mrs. Gates wearing an upside-down cross, I don't care what anybody says, that is not an accident.
Mm-hmm.
You don't accidentally do that.
Right.
You don't accidentally get into demon worship or something like that. When I look at all of these things that are taking place, when I look at patent numbers, when you have a patent number for the cryptocurrency that uses your body, your skin, that patent number, I think it's WO2020060606.
Correct.
Those things don't happen by chance.
Correct.
I guess it could happen by chance, but your chances of winning the lottery are probably much greater than just happening to get those numbers. So I look at these things, and I believe there's a message that's being sent. It could be to mock Christians,
mm-hmm.
because we believe this is the way it's going to go. But man, does that fulfill Bible prophecy if that's what their intent is to mock us? When Satan was fulfilling Bible prophecy when he thought he was going to have the victory over Christ by putting him to death, using the minions of this world, the religious leaders and the Romans. And actually, it was exactly what God had intended from the beginning to redeem mankind, and he would rise again. So you look at these things that are happening. It may be mockery, it may be their intention to just end all this nonsense as they see it about Christianity and Bible prophecy, when in fact they are fulfilling it. So when you look at these things, I go, this is rather interesting, but it's all evidence that the Bible is true, and it's a great reminder, as all of the signs are of the second coming of Christ, Jesus is coming again.
Yeah, amen. And Brandon Holthouse, HR 6666, why don't you explain that?
That's a bill that's been introduced. The government hasn't passed it,
yes,
but
right.
It would allow, if it does get passed, and it's funny that Tom mentions these coincidences of the number 666, because that's part of the bill number. It would allocate large funds given by the Secretary of Health and Human Services and give these, they call eligible entities, this kind of funding from the government to do diagnostic testing for COVID-19. But using digital surveillance, home inspections by government agents, and contact tracing. If that bill passes, the implications would be pretty scary that they're going to make sure you are vaccinated by even going to your house or calling you and saying, is everybody in your house vaccinated? And then I don't know where you go from that, but we've seen some other places like in Ventura County here in California where one of the crazy mayors said, look, we'll go to your house and ensure everybody in this house is vaccinated. You're not going to go to the grocery store, and you're not going to go to a restaurant if you haven't been vaccinated. We already kind of see some evidences of their behavior, but this would make it law, and that's what's pretty scary about it.
Yeah, indeed. I am sure both of you, being pastors, you have people in your congregation coming to you and asking, what do we do when the day arrives, when we can't buy or sell, the church is gone in the tribulation? Is this conversation suggesting that the rapture of the church could be today? Yes. It's also suggesting that we could go through some difficult times yet. We don't know. God never pours his wrath on the church. He allows man to pour wrath on believers, but not his wrath. That's why he removes the church. But that doesn't mean that man can't pour some pretty uncomfortable things. Just talk to the church in the Middle East and parts of Africa if they aren't experiencing man's wrath, not God's wrath, man's wrath, Satan's wrath. All right, gentlemen, you've got members of your congregation coming up to you. I'm not going to take this vaccine. And we've all indicated, three of us have indicated, vaccines have knocked out some T terrible illnesses in the past, but in the last, I would say, 30 years, they have turned enormously dark. And they're causing, I think, as much harm as good. Tom Hughes, what are you going to tell your people?
I do get asked that question already. I'm sure Brandon gets asked it all the time.
I sure do.
Here's my take. Growing up, going to school in the 1960s, I remember getting the vaccine. I think measles and whatever else
right.
we got back then. That was fine. My kids came along, and they got vaccinated. I actually have legitimate concerns now looking back at that, because that wasn't in the too-distant past. But I'm looking now, and I think Brandon described it as these things turned into some kind of cocktail
yes.
30 years ago or 20 years ago. You look at what they're talking about now, what I see here coming from Bill Gates and all the different things I'm reading, what's coming now, this looks to me like some kind of monster that's developed. You have the huge problem with aborted baby parts
mm-hmm.
that are used in fetal tissue that is used to create these vaccines. So I have an immediate moral problem with it. I'll tell people, you got to make your own decision on the vaccine. But I think Brandon has more information on this also than I do affecting your DNA. But I will say this. Here's the challenge with the mark of the beast. When I look at Revelation chapter 13, you receive the mark of the beast. It is a deliberate act of worship of Antichrist, the image of Antichrist. Right now, they're talking about it being medical. However, I'm fearful of it. I'm fearful of what's included in this monstrous cocktail that's being created. They want to force it upon everyone where you can't buy or sell is what it sounds like it's going. As Brandon said, they're going to track you in your home to see if you've been immunized. I can tell you this much, it's definitely a setup mm-hmm. for Revelation chapter 13.
Indeed.
Between everybody being identified by wearing a mask, people kneeling right now to something that is not the God of heaven, and you're shamed if you don't kneel, to the vaccination that's taking place, the coin shortage, everything is heading towards Revelation chapter 13, which is the midpoint of the tribulation,
right,
as you
right.
mentioned, Jan. If we're that far along already in the setting up, I'm thinking the rapture must be soon. But I do caution people about this vaccine because I'm very troubled about what I hear is in it.
Brandon, talk to us about the cocktail because you're absolutely right.
Tom's right on about using aborted fetal tissue in the vaccine. But also, I think Billy Crone pointed this out.
Yeah, he did.
Another,
the DNA.
Yeah, the DNA issues. There's a recombinant DNA and RNA in the vaccine, which we see when they do that to plants and they genetically modify mm-hmm. a plant through that. And they've been doing that with wheat and other things. Okay, but they want to genetically modify us. The scary part about this is they're going to do a recombinant DNA RNA in us, in the vaccine. How does that affect our DNA? What will it do to us? Will it give us a cancer? They don't know. They haven't tested it enough. They're rushing this to the front without it being properly tested. Right now, I think they were testing some guinea pig humans that are willing to take it, and I don't know what the result of that is. But nonetheless, when you're starting to mess with human DNA and you don't know what you're doing, you're playing Dr. Frankenstein, and we just don't know what it can do. Therefore, that's why I'm cautioning people. Be very careful about that. I guess it's not the mark of the beast. We're not in the tribulation.
Right.
Obviously, we're going to be gone by then. So theologically, you don't have to worry about it. But health-wise, you might. Because Bill Gates has done these kinds of vaccinations in other countries,
yes,
like in
has.
India and Africa.
Africa.
And India sued him because the vaccinations were killing people, and it sterilized a whole bunch of people in Africa. So we don't know what else is in there. Are they going to sterilize people through it? Is it going to give them other diseases? We don't know because they're not doing proper testing. They're just rushing this to the market. That's the scary part that people need to understand, that if I'm forced with a vaccination, I could do damage to my health. But then at the same token, then what do? If I can't function in society, if I can't buy or sell. And yeah, we're not in tribulation, but does that mean that Christians have to go off the grid? I don't know.
Good point. I mean, that'd be pretty difficult in itself.
Exactly. So what I've told people, I said, look, I don't know all the answers, but I can tell you this. The principles in Scripture that I've seen is that when his believers get up between a rock and a hard place, somehow the Red Sea parts and provides an opportunity. And I said, maybe give this over to God, and maybe at the time when this is being forced on us, God will somehow provide a way out. I don't know. But right now, we're looking at some pretty scary stuff coming our way, and I don't know a way around it.
No, I've talked to a lot of Christian leaders, and they don't know a way around it either. Folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the phone two pastors from California. Brandon Holthouse, Rock Harbor Church, rockharborchurch.net. That's in Bakersfield. Pastor Tom Hughes in the Calvary Chapel Stream, 412 Church, San Jacinto, hopeforourtimes.com. Get their prophecy updates on YouTube, hopeforourtimes.com, rockharborchurch.net, prophecy updates. Just go to YouTube and type in those various addresses, Hope for Our Times and Rock Harbor Church. Usually they're weekly and cutting edge. As you can tell, our conversation is based off of the things they've been sharing. Now that we've just presented the super dilemma, one of the modern day time biggest dilemmas, and that's the forthcoming vaccine situation. Gentlemen, as I was seeing the burning of some Bibles in Portland, Oregon, this is a couple weeks ago now, I mean, it struck me that what's going on right now is an all-out assault on God by a totally godless society. Now, the church is still here, so things would be far, far worse were the church not here. And thankfully, the church is being some salt and light here in this terribly dark time for America and the Western world. When we get right down to it, the faith community is pretty small. Some of them aren't speaking up. Some of them are going along willingly with what's going on. And I played that little clip of you, Brandon. We got some lemmings going over a cliff and all, but plenty of people are pushing back and are trying to speak up and are trying to stand for truth and are trying to say enough is enough. So now that we've just described for some 50 minutes here what kind of a whacked out society, upside down, black is white, good is evil, the Mad Hatter's ruling the world society we're in. Tom Hughes, how do you tell your people how to cope in these times?
You know what, Jan, this is not going to sound strange to either you or Brandon. Get to understand Bible prophecy, because rightly understood, there is so much hope because we know the direction it's all going to go. Listen, we live in, I'd say, unprecedented times.
Yeah.
When I look at it and I think, okay, there is fear out there. People are really upset. Suicide is increasing. But if you know the end of the story and you know that Jesus said it would look this way and you realize why it's happening, these are men and women who are making decisions that are really bringing in great fear among the people. And God is allowing it, but God is bringing about his plan. I want to say this, too.
Go ahead. Take your time.
Okay. I am talking with more and more Christians, the ones who are still going to church anyway, that are telling me about how much bolder they have become about sharing their faith. And like Brandon, I'm also talking with more and more people that I used to know were as atheists and agnostics. They're asking me questions all the time about what is going on. I'm starting to see them show up at church, too.
Okay.
But we have a message of hope, and that is what Bible prophecy does. Jesus warned, the prophets warned, hey, this is what it's going to look like. When you see these things begin to take place, which I'm thinking we're past just the beginning now, when you see them begin to take place, look up, for your redemption draws near. There is no more hopeful message than that. If churches, which the majority of them seem to be doing, just go along with the flow, well, how depressed are you going to be? You're trying to tell people we're going to get through this and it's going to be all right. We'll be back to normal. Brandon was very clear. We are not going back to the way it used to be. But we have the hopeful message. Jesus is coming, and it is going to be an incredible time when Jesus rules and reigns.
Brandon, I throw that question at you, and please take your time, because I've had some emails from radio listeners and others who are reading things online that we all post. And they say, we're in some tremendously challenging times, Jan. How are we going to make it? How are we going to cope? How are we going to fight back? I feel like I'm about to give in to things I don't want to give in to. And there's some totalitarian things going on that I just don't have much choice but to go along with it. What are you telling your people how they can cope, how the believer can push back and fight back? And please take your time in answering.
Sure. I think the first thing is to accept the prophetic reality. And that's a big thing that a lot of Christians have not grasped. They might know that things are going on, but to grasp the prophetic reality of where this is going is very hard for people who are not in tune with prophecy. Mm-hmm. So my first thing, back to what Tom said, you've got to be informed prophetically. 26% of the Bible has been ignored in churches.
True.
And so Christians are not prepared. So you prepare yourself to accept this reality by understanding the prophetic scenario. Where is God saying this going? Because that increases your faith, because exactly what God has said is happening. So you prepare that way, but you stay informed. I know it's hard to continue to watch the news
it
and
is.
Things of that nature.
It
and
is.
And I recommend people, hey, you don't have to watch 24 hours of news, but find some good sources and take about 15 minutes a day and stay up on things so that you know what's coming and be prepared so that not only you're prepared, but you can warn others like a watcher on the wall. So this idea of, I know it's bad, I'm going to stick my head in the sand, mm-hmm. is not our call. It is to complete the Great Commission, to do the works we're told to do, and be that watcher on the wall to get as many people on that rescue boat as possible. So now is the time to be more active than ever, more urgent than ever about what we're doing, and to not fear. And this is the big deal that's going on in our world. They're using fear
that's
to manipulate
right.
people.
That's right.
How do we overcome fear? It's by faith. Faith overcomes fear. What we're asked to do in Scripture is, what am I to trust God in? Here's what I've been saying to people, because they're afraid, and I get it. I'm in Exodus, and you're seeing in the plagues in Egypt a separation among Israel and the Egyptians. The plagues are hitting the Egyptians, but are not hitting Israel, and God continues to emphasize that. Well, I told our congregation, look, I know it's going to get bad, but here's a promise from even the New Testament in 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. And so I tell them, look, it might get bad, but at the end of the day, God's going to take care of you. He knows how to separate you out from what's going on. You're not responsible for this. So if judgment is happening to America, that doesn't mean it's going to happen to you. He will reserve you out of it. Ultimately, that coming reservement of getting out of it will be the rapture.
Right.
He will remove us. And so I say, keep that hope. God will provide for your needs and separate you out.
Well, in order to even experience the rapture, we have to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Tom Hughes, why don't you tell folks how they can do that? Honestly, that's really the purpose of this hour is to, we're on a rescue mission right now, the three of us, our three ministries. That's kind of what we're trying to do here in these last days.
Amen. That is the purpose of the Bible, even explaining it. We've been talking about Bible prophecy regarding the second coming of Christ, how the events are going to unfold in the last days, known as eschatology. But the Bible also has Bible prophecy about the first coming of Christ, and we can't forget that. Jesus came the first time as the one to forgive us of our sins. He's coming the second time as judge. And listen, the Bible is very clear that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The sin is to miss the mark. It's missing the mark of perfection. And there's nobody that's perfect except Christ. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus came the first time. He was judged for the sins of anyone who would believe in him and trust in him and repent of their sins. He was put upon a cross. For anybody who believes, who trusts in Christ, the Father looked at the Son as if Jesus himself had committed your sins. If you've asked Christ to forgive you, if you've repented. And hence, Jesus was judged for your sins so you would not be judged for your sins. But if you reject the provision of the forgiveness in Christ, you're in effect saying, God, I don't need Jesus. Judge me for my own sins, and you will be judged for your own sins. And that judgment is eternal separation from God in a place the Bible describes as hell. And you don't want to go there. But listen, this is what you need to do to know Christ to be forgiven. You must admit you're a sinner. You have to ask him to forgive you. And you must repent of your sin. To repent is to make a U-turn, is to surrender, is to turn from your sins and yourself and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, after he described going to prepare a place for us that the Bible describes as heaven, he says, I prepared it for you, but then he said this, I am the way there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus was saying, there's absolutely no other possibility to get to heaven, to be forgiven, than through him. I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, not a truth. I am the life, not a life. We must ask Christ to forgive us of our sins. And Bible prophecy proves that the Bible is true. And the Bible tells us all of these things about Jesus and our need to be forgiven of our sins.
Thank you so much, Pastor Tom Hughes. You can learn more at 412 Church in San Jacinto, California. HopeForOurTimes.com would be, on YouTube anyway, the outstanding place to pick up Prophecy Update, as well as on YouTube, RockHarborChurch.net, Prophecy Update, Pastor Brandon Holthouse. And, you know, folks, We've talked about some things that are dark, and that means the world is right now being led by some people who are on the dark side. But you know, the Bible talks about that. I'm going out of the program referring, as many of you may suspect, to Psalm 2. Remember, when it comes to evildoers and the globalists and the reset people are evildoers, God has the last laugh. Literally, Psalm 2 says that God sits in the heavens and laughs at them for their foolishness. His millennial kingdom is the only global empire that will ever work, and you and I will rule there and occupy for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ on the throne in Jerusalem. I want to thank you for listening, folks, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for your support of this radio outreach, now in its 20th year and heard on almost 900 radio stations. Yes, we are in apocalyptic times, just as the Bible said the last days would be. For the believer, our glorious future is but a heartbeat away. If this radio outreach has been an encouragement in your life, let us hear from you. Write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. All gifts are tax deductible. Until next week, know that God cares for you, that He holds the world in His hands, that nothing catches Him by surprise, and that everything is falling into place.